So you've probably noticed that Living Planet has been sounding a little bit different lately, and that's because we've been trying out new formats and experimenting quite a bit. My name, for all of you who don't know me yet, is Neil King. I used to be with another DW podcast called On the Green Fence, and I am here now together with my lovely colleague,
Kathleen Schuster. Thanks for calling me lovely. It's very nice. Yeah, and I used to be with a show called World in Progress, which was focused on human rights. And now we're pooling all of our resources together to kind of expand our climate coverage to really reflect what people are going through around the planet and what solutions they are finding to this issue that affects all of us.
Yeah, and so we've created three brand new formats for the podcast feed. One of them we're calling a deep dive. We take topics that are relevant and we try and look at them, you know, from perhaps through a different lens and a different angle. So, for instance, when the farmer strikes were happening across Europe, there was all the news on that. It was in the headlines. And you talked to a lot of people for that episode, didn't you, Kathleen?
Yeah, it was really interesting to get out and talk to farmers where they felt like they weren't being heard. And there was this other story behind the story of these protests, which was that a lot of farmers are really suffering from the strain that they're under for the job that they're doing, and that they also feel like they're kind of scapegoated in a way, that they're seen as like climate killers when, in fact, they're some of the people with the closest profession to nature.
This fängt an mit Jürgen, wenn ich nicht abends eine halbe Flasche Jägermeister trinke.
I hear things like, Jürgen, if I don't drink half a bottle of Jägermeister in the evening, then I can't go to bed because I can't shut off my brain. I just lay there awake, my thoughts swirling. I'm afraid I'll lose everything. And then he can sleep a bit, but it's not a deep sleep because of the alcohol. Then there are other stories like, Jürgen, if it all comes to an end, then I'll hang myself on the next tree. And that's, of course, a more extreme case.
And this is natürlich schon extrem.
He agrees that talking through these problems is vital and that often a therapist is necessary. He sees other reasons, though, why farmers are having so much trouble coping.
Some of these farms have been around for 10, 12, 15 generations. So knowing that someone once started this farm and for the past 15 generations, each generation managed to keep things running. And now he's the one who's going to have to shut it down for good because it's no longer working. The pressure these people are facing is brutal.
Belastung, Druck, die man sich aussetzt.
He knows this from his own family. His grandfather started the farm, and Jürgen handed it down to his oldest son a few years ago. They mainly raised pigs, and it was around the time he handed the farm down that they needed to invest roughly 250,000 euros to update their pig pen to meet new animal protection guidelines. Before the law passed, there were different numbers floating around about how big the stalls for pregnant sows needed to be, and they were advised to plan for 6 square meters to be on the safe side. But once the law passed, it actually required 6.5 square meters of space. Now they have until April to submit their plans for changes, and his son doesn't know if it's worth the investment. His second oldest son has already thrown in the towel.
The first reason is the inability to plan. Today, if I build a stall according to animal protection guidelines that costs between 250 and 300,000 euros, I can't count on using it long enough to pay it off. What young person would be ready to invest? The trust is simply gone, and that's why no one is investing right now.
Yeah, that's a story perhaps we'll have to come back to again in future because it's far from over.
Mm. So moving on to the second format that we created for Living Planet, and that's more like a service style, isn't it? The question is, or the format is called, what's better? I mean, I've experienced quite often that you come across something and you ask yourself, what would actually be better for the environment in this context? You know, does it make more sense to buy a cotton t-shirt or one that is made from recycled plastic? And these are kind of questions that they're not really that easy to Google, and it's not always a straightforward answer. And so we thought it could be interesting to take those questions also from our listeners. So please do write in and let us know if you have any environmental dilemmas you'd like us to look at. One of the episodes that we also did on that was on EVs, contrasting them with Yeah, combustion engines.
Yeah, because it was actually a question that my husband and I were looking at, which is we had this old clunker. It was really fuel efficient. And then we were thinking, you know, would it be better to go with an electric car? And there are all these considerations. And then, of course, you know, the biggest one is the environmental one. Like, is getting a completely new electric car really better? Because you are using some resources. There was way more to it than I realized. Yeah.
Let's have a quick listen to that.
Based on the research that we find, the current battery technology is able to run for 3,000 to 5,000 charge and discharge cycles. And this translates into a range of more than 1 million kilometers, which is far more than you need for the average life of a car.
So in theory, e-cars might have a longer lifespan than combustion cars in the long run. And if coupled with cleaner energy and large-scale battery recycling, they might end up having an even lower environmental footprint in the coming decades too. Jeremy Mihalik, who we heard from earlier, says if more EVs are on the road, that might also lead to new trends in how power grids are built in order to accommodate a greater demand for electricity. One really intriguing technology is called vehicle-to-grid.
There's a version of that that we have now, which is if you buy your electric pickup truck and your power goes out in your house, you can power the house or part of the house with your electric pickup truck. When we talk about vehicle-to-grid, sometimes we're just talking about that, where I'm reducing the load that my house is asking for from the grid because part of it's being provided by the vehicle. But often we're talking about actually sending energy back into the power grid. And so that might be helpful if, for example, you had a moment where the wind died down and it was really cloudy and you just aren't getting the power you need out of your renewable resources at that moment. You could draw some power back in from all of these storage units than all the vehicles across the country until you had a moment where you're generating more of that power again and then push it back out. So that vehicle to grid can really increase the potential for building intermittent renewables like wind and solar by providing capability to fill in some of those gaps.
Kathleen actually now has an electric car. It happened almost at the same time, didn't it?
Well, actually, the focus was supposed to be on you. So, but yeah, exactly.
Format number three. Well, this third format, it's called Naturally Connected. And, well, it is supposed to be a listening experience. The writing is very beautiful. And it's basically indulging in nature, dipping into nature. You know, things that are on your doorstep, things that you tend to overlook. It's basically to unwind.
Let's have a quick listen to that.
In the intervening years, I've come to regard the tree as my favorite, or sometimes just my tree, though of course I know it's not. I visit the streamside spot where it stands several times a week and spend a few moments there with no particular aim in mind. Sometimes I just sit beneath it and watch the water flow through the dapple of its shadows. Sometimes I stand and breathe beside it, touching its now familiar bark. On other occasions, I stare up at the shapes created by the tangled webs of its spindly yet copious branches, or at the empty spaces between them. And I often find myself wondering about all the other people who've stood or sat where I do, of the thoughts coaxed into existence by the quiet calm of its dense growth, and the aches and pains of human life that it might have helped to heal.
When we talk about nature and in the environment, it is really nice and relaxing and a way to recharge.
Yeah. So these are the three formats that we've developed for Living Planet, and we hope that you will share this with friends and family.
Yeah, and they really lend themselves also to listening with other people together. I know I've done that with some episodes, like discussing them with my husband, for example. And that's another great way to share a podcast and to kind of share that experience with people.
You can find a new episode of Living Planet here every Friday. And I'm your host, Neil King.
And I'm Kathleen Schuster.